I want to talk to you tonight about the fire burning. We need to understand there is a fire that's burning, and it's mentioned a number of times in the Bible, and it has some applications for us. In Psalms 39, beginning of verse 1, I said, I will guard my ways, lest I sin with my tongue. I will restrain my mouth with a muzzle while the wicked are before me. I was mute with silence. I held my peace even from good. My sorrow was stirred up. My heart was hot within me. While I was musing, the fire burned. Then I spoke with my tongue, Lord, make me to know my end and what is the measure of my days, that I may know how frail I am. He talked about fire burning within him. And I want us to, each one, touch ourselves tonight to see if the fire has gone out. Are we here because of routine? Are we here because it's Sunday at 5 o'clock? Are we here because that's what I've always been trained to do? Or like David, he said, I was glad when they said, let us go up to the house of the Lord. And there's something to be said then about knowing that there's a fire in our hearts that's possible. Jeremiah the prophet was a sad figure in many ways because he was opposed again and again by enemies of God. Then he said in chapter 20, verse 9, I will not make mention of him anymore, nor speak anymore in his name. But his word was in my heart like a burning fire, shut up in my bones. I was weary of holding it back, and I could not. Jeremiah had that fire within him that he had to tell God's message. He was in so much trouble. He was put into a dungeon, in mire up to his shoulders. He was denigrated, and he thought it would be so much better if I didn't have to talk, if I didn't have to say God's word. But there was a fire in him, and that fire made him speak out. And what we need to capture is that fire within us to recognize the zeal that we have for God. When Jesus was raised and appeared to the individuals on the road in Luke 24:32, they said to one another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us on the road, while he opened the scriptures to us? They connected with Jesus. They didn't understand it at first. They were on the road to Emmaus. Jesus appeared to them after he was raised. And there was something about him that made them have that fire within their hearts. And it's so easy to lose this. It can sometimes just be something that we do by routine and habit because we've trained to do that. We want to be there, but it was just routine or habit. We need to understand that there's a fire that burns, and that can burn in us as well. In Hebrews 10:25, we're taught that we are not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. I know that with some, the fire has burned out. We've had people that have dropped away who are not attending anymore. And I need to ask myself the question, has the fire gone out in me? And is your worship just routine? Do you go through the motions? Are you asking yourselves these questions? Do you feel a fire that this is what I want? This is what I like? This is what I want to do? There was an article one time that I read about somebody going to church and enjoying it less. And it sort of talked about how they were fading in their love for God and the world was pulling them. And so they were going to church, but they were enjoying it less. And sometimes I've seen people that indicate that's sort of what they did too. I'll never forget in Longview, Texas, one of the deacons said, after 15 minutes, you lose us, he and his wife. And sure enough, after 15 minutes, they were playing games on their phones. The fire had gone out. And they were going through the motions. They were always there. But you couldn't expect a lot from them. And so we have to think about that and ask ourselves. When you talk about the fire burning, turn to Revelation chapter 2. We want to look for just a moment at the church at Ephesus. There's a great deal of information about the church at Ephesus because Paul did a lot of work there, and he spent 2 years at one time in Ephesus, and we have as much revealed about Ephesus as we do any of the New Testament congregations. In chapter 2, verse 1, to the angel of the church in Ephesus write, "These things says he who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks, I know your works, your labor, your patience, that you cannot bear those who are evil. You have tested those who say they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars. And you have persevered and have patience and have labored for my name's sake, have not become weary." You think, well, just go on. That's wonderful. But then he says, "Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love." And what does that mean, you left your first love? They stood for the truth. They questioned evildoers. They had patience. They tested those that were apostles and were not. And yet, anything was not right. They had commendable attributes. And I think we do here at Northside. I'm not trying to put us down in any sense of the term, but examining our hearts. They were working in patience. They abhorred evil. And I think that's what we feel about evil. They tested their teachers for truth. And I do believe that if I preached error, there'd be a rising up of members, because you're wedded to the truth also. Had borne hardships, and we haven't had that many hardships, but Ephesus did. Had not grown weary in these good things, and yet they have left their first love, and that needs to be examined. In the midst of their energy and all the other things, evidently the fire had gone out. And I can't think of any other phrase except that that's what had happened. It's possible then for a congregation to stand for truth and to be known for truth and yet do it by way of routine and habit. And we have to avoid that for sure. And so, Ralph Waldo Emerson, who was a poet, and he's not our authority, but he made a good comment. "Enthusiasm is one of the most powerful engines of success. When you do a thing, do it with all your might." That's scriptural. Do it with all your might. Put your whole soul into it. Stamp it with your own personality. Be active. Be energetic. Be enthusiastic and faithful. You will accomplish your object. Nothing great was ever achieved without enthusiasm. And we have to recognize that this is something that can sort of disappear. We come, we're in constant attendance because we believe that it's right. We're glad to go to the house of the Lord and be a part of the congregation. And yet at the same time, we need that enthusiasm, and don't let that enthusiasm fade away over the years. We'll keep doing what's right. So the fire burned, and we need to recognize when the fire is going out. And I'm saying this to me. I need to understand if my fire goes out, I don't want that to happen. I want to be enthusiastic about the Lord. Well, it would be a reduction in involvement of the congregation. If somebody began to miss, and they began to not attend, and you would see them spasmodically, you would know their fire is going out. They're not zealous as they once were. The reduction in spiritual hunger. The Bible very clearly tells that we're supposed to hunger and thirst after righteousness. 1 Peter chapter 2 talks about we want to have the sincere milk of the Word, that we may grow thereby. And this is something that we can really do and feel ourselves growing. By the way, I want to mention on the website, on the audio Bible, Brother Greer has fixed that. Before, we couldn't listen to the Bible. But he made a connection to Brother Jerry Feit's website. And if you go to the audio Bible and click on it, you'll not only see the words of the Scriptures, but you can hear him read the words of the Scriptures. And sometimes if you want to just sit down like the Psalms that we read here when we open our worship services, to sit down and just listen to the Psalms as somebody else reads them. So I wanted you to know about the fact that things are being done, and we hope that much more will be done as well. And then the lack of will and motivation. Do you have to have somebody nag at you to do what's right? Or do you have that enthusiasm and motivation to get up on your own on Sunday morning, to get up on your own on Sunday evening and decide that I want to worship God and I want to be close to the brethren and I want that fellowship. But that's what we need. And so in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10, we need that for ourselves. I need to be sure that my fire is not going out. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10, the Apostle Paul said to the church at Corinth, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body, according to what he has done, whether good or bad." And I need to think of myself, am I walking the way Christ would have me to walk? Because if I began to delay, or if I began to put other things first, my fire is going out, and I can't afford to let that happen. We need to energize the local church here. For example, we have the first Sunday night of the month, we have singing. And some might say, well, it's just singing. No, that's a wonderful time of worship where you sing praises to God. And we need that. And so we don't want to just say, well, I'll be there when we're doing something different. But come and show your energy for the church and be a part of things to keep that fire burning. And we need to have that to influence the salvation of our family. This is one of the hardest things. I know because I've been there. You have family that you love dearly. And you want so badly for them to obey the gospel of Christ. And so if you have that fire within you, you have to talk to them. You have to bring it up. Oh, they don't like it sometimes. And sometimes they'll wish that you didn't. But if that fire is in you and you really want them to be saved, you can't keep quiet. Just like Jeremiah said when people were telling him to be quiet. And I think I read to you one time, there was a city south of Jerusalem that was being captured by the Babylonians. And one of them sent a letter to Jerusalem about that prophet who is discouraging the people. He was talking about Jeremiah. He had heard that Jeremiah had said, open the gates and let them in, because if you fight, and it's going to be worse for you than if you let them in. Well, that sounds traitorous. And so he was talking about Jeremiah who discouraged the people, but Jeremiah was telling the word of God. And he said, I want to keep it quiet, but I just can't because there's a fire burning in me. Sometimes when you're in the presence of a loved one and you know they're not saved, can you feel that inside that you want so badly to say something? You want wisdom to be able to know how to speak? You just can't keep quiet. And I know sometimes they resent that. But we need to have that fire burning within us like that. And how do we keep the fire burning? Fuel that fire. Don't try to put it out. Don't douse the fire and say, keep quiet. That's what they were trying to say to Jeremiah. Keep quiet. Don't speak. He said, I can't help but speak. And so we need to fuel that fire. The Word of God. Think on these things, Paul told the Philippians. If they're these good things, think on these things. And sometimes when you get really discouraged and things are not going right, how wonderful it is to sit down and read the Scriptures and rekindle your enthusiasm and to know that you're doing the right things for God. And it lifts you up and makes you feel better. I love the song that was led a moment ago about soaring like eagles. What a wonderful thought that is that Isaiah brought out. That God's people are going to soar like eagles. Overcoming is the point. Above all the world and those things. And we need to be involved with spiritual people. Not only people of this congregation, but people of other congregations. Let the people of God be my friends. Not only here, but other places. I got a call this week that is very disturbing. When I lived in North Carolina in the 50s, there was a Marine by the name of Royce Cody. He and his wife, and they were raised in a liberal situation, and they began to attend, and we had studies, and he accepted the truth, and through the years, he's been faithful. Lives out in Lubbock in the shallow water area. His son called me to tell me he's got lung cancer. And It's just hard to think about him having lung cancer. But what has been such a close friendship through the years, we haven't been close physically, but we've always kept in touch. He's always been faithful to the Lord, and he's raised children that are faithful to the Lord. And his children know me, and they know that I want to know about him. Brother Cody is going to be having biopsy this week to see how far the cancer has spread in his lungs. I'd appreciate your prayers for him, because this is a dread disease, and it hits so very many people. But we need to be involved with spiritual people. They lift us up. Through the years, I've met a few grumps. I've had a few that fussed at me. But one of the great blessings of my life has been the good spiritual people that I've met in different places through the years, from North Carolina to California, all through Texas and other places where I've held meetings. And just to be able to have that kind of spiritual contact just makes me feel so good, because I know we're the same kind of people. We have the same goals. We have the same faith. And look up to heroes. We need heroes. We don't have many in the world. But the book of Hebrews chapter 11 has a lot. And maybe you've got a hero, somebody that you respect, that you look up to. And you recognize that you can imitate their life. Like Paul said, 1 Corinthians 11, imitate me as I imitate Christ. That's such a good thing to do. And I've thought so many times about the Apostle Paul and his zeal. I could never be the Apostle Paul. I could never even begin to compare with him. And as I've thought about the end of his life, being led out on the road from Rome, and having to kneel down and have his head cut off. People didn't really understand who he was. They didn't know who they were killing. They were so close and yet so far from the truth. And that great apostle laid down his life. He said on one occasion, I'm being poured out as a drink offering. Because he gave his entire life to God. Paul had that fire that we're talking about tonight. And it couldn't be quenched, because even as he died, he left those things. And we have to examine ourselves to see personally what this is happening to me. And I need to have that kind of understanding. In 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5, that great apostle said, examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Christ, Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you are disqualified? Test yourselves. Put yourself to the test. Are you doing those things that you're supposed to be doing? And that's a good, honest thing to do. In the book of Philippians, chapter 3, beginning of verse 13, Paul said, brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and stretching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind. If anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that we've already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us be of the same mind. And Paul knew the kind of life that led him to where he was, and he said he wants to keep walking that way. And that's true with us. We test ourselves, and through the years, our faith has brought us to where we are today. Now he's saying, if then that's the case, then walk by the same rule. Don't give that up. Continue walking like that. And we keep the fire of faith and hope and love burning in us. And I'm not being melodramatic. I'm not talking about something that only a few have. I'm talking about something each one of us can create and understand and have in our hearts. That I'm on fire for the Lord. I'm never going to give up. I've never really been able to understand how somebody that knows the Lord and knows about heaven could ever fall away. It's just impossible. We sang a song, the first one, if I miss heaven, what shall I do? And that just strikes me to my core. What would happen to me if I miss heaven? Well, the alternative is hell. And the thought of going there, and when I think of that, I think I'd never hear another prayer. I never hear another gospel song. I never read another scripture. I never be able to associate with another Christian. The only people I'd have to look forward to would be Judas and Hitler and Jezebel. I wouldn't have anything to do with them in this life. Why would I want to be with them throughout eternity? And so when that song was being sung and the phrase, "If I miss heaven, what will I do?" really strikes a chord with me. And I hope it does with you, because we just don't dare miss that. And so keep the fire of faith and hope burning within us. The Bible tells us in 1 John 4, verse 19, we love Him because He first loved us. And that spurs us on to stay in our deep love for Almighty God. And John 15:13, greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. Jesus laid down His life for us. And that's so wonderful to be able to understand and to know that. So I'm asking, is there a fire burning in you tonight? Do you understand the concept of that deep and abiding faith in God that spurs you on? No matter what happens, you're going to overcome it. No matter what obstacles are in your way, you're going to overcome that, because you're never, ever going to give up. And that's the kind of lesson that I wanted to leave with you tonight. I'm hoping that I keep the fire burning in me as long as I live. As long as I draw my last breath, I want to be on fire for the Lord, and to recognize that I have to speak, I have to talk to people about Jesus. Hope and pray that individuals who are not saved will obey the gospel.